So here we go. So we're here again thinking about our exploration of John's gospel. And if over the weeks we've been thinking about how John is giving us this big picture, this revelation, if you like, of just who Jesus is, and therefore the good news of the hope he brings us. And we're today at chapter 10, almost halfway through John's gospel, and we're slowly gathering the evidence which indicates to us the power and authority of Jesus. So, just as a recap, although we've not looked at all of these things in detail in this series, but we have heard many of these stories, and we've been told about up to chapter 9 the stories of the six of the miraculous signs, the miracles, the out of the ordinary events, which many people were realizing must be from God. They certainly weren't human. They were amazing and awesome, showing Jesus's power over creation and the universe. And they're listed there: the water into wine, the healing of the official's son, the healing of the paralytic, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walks on water, and last week we heard about the healing of the blind man. And also, there's been so far two of these declarations by Jesus of just who he is and what these mean. These pictures, these metaphors, the bread of life, i.e. he'll bring all you need, your sustenance to live, and the light of the world, showing the way, illuminating the path and taking darkness away. Just wonderful pictures of what Jesus means and what he brings to us. So today we're going to look a little bit further at two more of these I am statements and what they mean to add to our picture, our knowledge and our understanding of Jesus in our lives. Now, any of you have been on the Bible course first session, the Lent course, will know that they said it's a very good idea to read things from more than one version of the Bible. So we're going to read this passage again from the Message version. I've got it up on here because it's really interesting and helps our understanding to sort of just get some different words and a slightly different version of something. So here we go. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about, so he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I freely lay down my life, and so I am free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down. I also have the right to take it up again. I receive this authority personally from my Father. This kind of talk caused another split in the Jewish ranks. A lot of them were saying, he's crazy, a maniac, out of his head completely. Why bother listening to him? But others weren't so sure. These aren't the words of a crazy man. Can a maniac open blind eyes? So, what did Jesus mean when he was talking about these things, when he said, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd? And again, on the Lent course, we're thinking about looking at Bible passages and asking the what and the now what. What did the passage mean in its context in the day? And now what does this passage mean for me now? So the metaphor, the picture of a shepherd, a much loved and familiar picture, isn't it? What was being a shepherd like then in the context of the day? A shepherd, much more so than we have here, was a very familiar figure in Bible times. I guess if we saw a shepherd now, they'd be on a quad bike, probably hurtling over the fields. Not so then. Judea was, for the main part, a central plateau that stretched from Bethel to Hebron over 35 miles and was about 17 miles across. And the ground was generally very rough and stony, not suitable for agriculture, but could support sheep just about. It was a very hard life. The shepherd was never off duty. There was not a lot of grass, so the sheep were bound to wander, and there were no walls, so they had to be continually watched. On either side of the narrow plateau, the ground dipped sharply down to the craggy deserts, and the sheep were liable to stray away and get lost. The shepherd's task was not only constant, but dangerous. For in addition, he had to guard the flock against wild animals, especially against wolves, and there are always thieves and robbers ready to steal the sheep. So constant vigilance, fearless courage, patient love for the flock were the necessary characteristics of the shepherd. At night, the shepherd would put the sheep into a sheepfold. Some of the sheepfolds, which were down in the town, were communal, and perhaps they were a doorway into a cave where all the village flocks were sheltered when the shepherd returned home at night. The fold was protected by a very strong door, of which a guardian held the key. Or if it was in the warmer summer nights, then the sheep were collected into folds on the hillsides. Open spaces, just enclosed by a wall, but open in one section where there was no door, so that the shepherd himself lay down across the opening to stop the sheep escaping. The shepherd himself is effectively the door. And Jesus refers to both these types of sheepfolds in his passage. So Jesus uses the metaphor to illustrate his mission. There are two different ways, he says, to enter the sheepfold. The wrong way, climbing over the wall, which is the way of thieves and robbers, or the right way, entering through the gate, the way the true shepherd would go. Through Jesus, I am the door, I am the gate, and through him alone can men come to God. He then explains the meaning of the illustration by describing the characteristics of the good shepherd as opposed to the characteristics of thieves and robbers or hired hands. Thieves and robbers, those who sneak over the wall, are out to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus was referring to those who claimed to be the Messiah, those that made false promises and were not from God. He talks also about the hired hands, who in the face of danger would turn and run. His illustration is the paid hand who cares for the sheep in lieu of the shepherd for money, but because the sheep are not their own, they are quick to run away when the going gets tough. And Jesus was referring to the religious leaders who do not really care for the people, as they are not truly from God. So Jesus outlines what a good shepherd is like. Jesus has been appointed by the Father, not self-appointed like the false prophets. He is obedient to the Father, and his authority comes from him. The sheep know his voice, and we can see how the common people listened to him and heard him gladly. The message they were hearing was good news. Of course, there were many who did not want to hear. But think back to those stories we've already heard. The woman at the well, the beggar who responded, "Lord, I believe." How do we respond to his voice? He calls his sheep by name. This is what shepherds do. I had one of those moments of guilt this morning when I was thinking about this, because I know, and I do apologise for any of you here, while I still fail to remember your names. And I thought, I'm not a very good pastor, am I? Because actually it's really important for somebody to know our name, isn't it? And how amazing it is that God knows us by name. Jesus calls his sheep by name. That's what the shepherds do, to take your sheep from a communal sheepfold. You have to know your sheep. You have to pick the right ones. You have to call them out by name. And the sheep have to recognize that voice and respond when they are called. The call is personal. He calls us by name. How do we respond? It says he leads them out. The sheep were not herded. They weren't driven out. They were led out. He called them and they followed. Jesus is the guide. To follow him is not to walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Living is not following the rules, but following the master. Having a relationship with him, trusting in him. To follow will bring obedience, because we trust that he knows best, that he will lead us to live life in the best possible way. The sheep had to trust the shepherd knew where the good pasture was. They followed him to where the good places to eat would be. How much do we trust him that he knows best? And if we do follow the shepherd, follow Jesus, what do we gain? We have many blessings. Firstly, we have salvation. We are rescued from the threats and dangers. For the sheep, it was the threats of the wild animals. For us, it is the threat of sin. The flock are allowed to come and in and go out as they please, as they are secure in the shepherd. They have freedom in him, and he provides all they need, all we need. To follow the shepherd is not restrictive, but liberating. And he provides life to the full, full to abundance. Remember the first miraculous sign, the water into wine. A really generous act, a generous God who wishes us through his generosity to have all the world can offer. Some people think that following Jesus means having no fun. But when I think of Jesus, his celebration, he welcomes us to the feast. The opposite is true. But how is this to happen? Jesus tells the crowd the cost of this promise. He will indeed lay down his life for the sheep, for them, for us. He chooses this himself because he loves us. The good shepherd will sacrifice his own life. And this is central. Who else but God would do this for his people? absolutely central. Jesus says, not I am like a good shepherd, but I am a good shepherd. And we know that there is more. Salvation is to all who come to him. And Jesus points to what else is to come. Hold on, something went slightly awry here on my slide. That's it. Right, okay. Yeah. Jesus gives up his life, but death could not hold him. He is raised to life. Sin and death are defeated. And here is where our true hope lies, and it is for everyone. Jesus said, this is not just for Israel, but goes beyond to the whole world. If you remember the words he said, there are other sheep that need to come into the sheep pen too. And that's the good news, for it's for us as well. So this was pretty amazing to the people listening, and remains so for us today. Jesus is the gate, the door. Through him we can be in relationship with God, and Jesus provides the way. Jesus is the good shepherd who knows us by name, who leads us into life in all its fullness because he loves us. So I guess the question for us all is, who will we follow? Who do we trust? Where do we place our hope? Let us pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the way, the door, the gate, and that you are the good shepherd who loves us and looks after us even unto death, that we may have life full to overflowing and for all time. So we thank you just most dearly from the bottom of our hearts, and we just wish to follow you. Amen.